to Si.
Spend the day with Si.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Si's Thursday Live.
Radio Si's Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by brothers Prem and Sai Prakash. It's now time for us to go to the next segment, that is the Veda Jignasa program. And to take you across this episode of Veda Jignasa is me, Ganesh, and along with me is brother Bhargav. Sai Ram Bhargav.
Sai Ram Ganesh.
So at the outset, we shall all collectively offer our humble salutations at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet and with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration. We shall commence today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Nutibhissedasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Bhargav, in continuation from where we had stopped in the last session, discussing about the concept of Kirti.
Kirti, yes.
So we shall take this forward.
Yes.
And how the entire explanation of the various aspects of Kirti,
yeah,
which come along with it, or rather, when we have those aspects, Kirti automatically comes.
Yes.
So beautifully, the mantra unfolds itself as we proceed further.
Yes, correct, correct.
And it gives us a beautiful glimpse into the tattvam, or the essence of the love of Mother Goddess.
Correct, correct.
So I think we shall chant the previous line as well as the next line that we are going to cover.
Upaitu maam deva sakha kirtischa manina saha pradurbhuto smira stresmin kirti mriddhin dadatu me kshutpipasamalan jeshtham lakshmi nashayamyaham abhutimasamriddhim cha sarvanirnudame gruhat Gandhadvarandhuradarshan Nityapushtam Karishinim Ishvare Gum Sarvabhutanam Tamihopa Vayeshriyam.
I think the reason for us to cover 3-4 stanzas in this class is that everything is interlinked.
Yeah.
And the aspect of Kirti unfolds step by step.
In the next two verses, yes.
And it's a continuous process. I think it would be nice if we can combine all these and talk in detail.
Yeah. So just to jog our memory, Ganesh, Kirti, we had found that Kirti comes to you if you have, they say that Kirti has 8 consorts or 8 companions who also come along, or as you told, when they come along, automatically Kirti automatically comes to you. So we'll just do a small list them again. One is Mati. Mati is good intellect, son Mati. Dyuti is light. Pushti is you can say health.
Nutrition,
health, good health. Samriddhi is prosperity. Tushti is again mental satisfaction, mental health. Like somewhere where
it's
you...
It's like contentment.
Contentment, yeah. Santrupti, Swami calls. Then Arogya. Arogyam is health, good health. And Jaya is victory. And Shraddha is devotion. Or, devotion we can call. Sincerity and devotion. So as you told, like if you go to the next 2-3 verses, everything what we cover in the next 2-3 verses, they all come and indicate towards these 8 aspects. You know, like if you just say that Kshutpipasa Malam Jeshtha Malakshmi Nachayamiham means you are the one who removes wretchedness, who removes poverty, who removes your thirst and your hunger. All these things are removed. So, you know, Ganesh, once when you actually think about it, first thing which comes to our mind is, yeah, the thirst. You know, we feel thirsty when we are tired or when we walk a long distance, we need water. That's one thirst. And then, you know, hunger. When for our survival, for our sustenance, we need food. So that is hunger. But we thought we'll touch upon this also. You know, Swami is Annapurna. There is n number of things, infinite number of experiences which we can have on that. And then for quenching the thirst also, you know, Swami is like, he has got this water project and all, you know what it is. But I think the more interesting part will be that we will touch upon this also and also see that what other thirst he quenches and what is the thirst which he generates in us. Like, it's again very interesting, you know. You will be thinking, what this, listeners will be thinking, what is this? We are talking about removal or annihilation of thirst. These people are talking about creating thirst. You know, this is something strange. But yeah, that is what Swami is. He is what he is. We can't explain him. We can't understand. Only Swami says, experience me. So these are the three aspects. One is the physical thirst, the physical hunger, and the physical wretchedness and poverty, how he removes. And second is the mental. You know, we all have mental ailments. You know, we say all these Aishwarvargas, the negative traits which you all have, how he removes those, the thirst, a negative hunger of the mind, the wretchedness and the poverty of the mind, how he removes them, and how he gives the thirst, the hunger for something which is higher. You know, I think that is something which we need to dwell upon, and then probably we can do some justice to what Swami. You know, we can never do full justice to what Swami is, but at least we can do a small attempt. So Ganesh, correct me, we'll take these three aspects. First is the physical negativities, how he removes, then the mental negativities, and the same, you know, Swami always says, when you want to remove anger, when you want to remove kama, that is desire, don't say, don't try to avoid desire, don't try to avoid anger, but have desire for God and get angry that why I am not thinking about God. So probably Swami says, transmute the desire into a positive way so that the desire doesn't remain negative at all. So that is how he has taught us. So this
actually Swami beautifully tells that instead of suppressing your mind, you should always redirect your mind.
Yes.
So that is the simple panacea for all the problems for our mind.
Yes.
So when it is turned towards negativity, Swami just tells you, redirect everything towards divinity.
Yeah,
automatically it becomes positive.
Correct.
So that is the way forward in dealing with your mind.
Yeah. So for physical hunger and physical thirst, like anything comes to your mind?
Actually, one immediately strikes my mind. It's like more of how Swami had attended. See, the compassionate mother that Swami is, how spontaneously the mother responds is a very beautiful example for all of us. This happened in Trai Vrindavan when a session was going on with all the students and the staff. Suddenly, as Swami was sitting in the jhula and talking to all the boys, a boy who was standing right at the end of the Trai Vrindavan, straight to Swami.
Okay.
Because of some problem, he just collapsed as the session was going on.
Okay.
The reason was unknown to all. And Swami, in all his power, he could have asked someone who was there next to him to go and check what happened to the boy. But what happened was, the moment that boy fell down, Swami got up from his chair.
Wow.
Got up from the jhula. took the glass of water that was next to him, just made way till the boy, he took his head in his lap and then Swami fed him the water, made him drink the water, got him to consciousness, put some water on him and then came back and sat in his chula.
So beautiful.
This was like a eye-opener for each and every individual that was present in the tribe Vrindavan, because how we should respond to a situation, how must we serve? This was a beautiful example for everyone to learn.
The spontaneity which he exactly. served, correct?
Because he cannot see, the mother cannot see her child being thirsty or being subject to any kind of
difficulty.
Okay. That is how she comes immediately to eradicate that yes. problem for us.
Yes, yes. So Ganesh, now, talking about the physical thirst, about hunger also, anything comes to your mind?
Actually, there is a very, very sweet incident narrated by our dear Ramakrishna Reddy sir, who is now retired, and he was a lecturer in the higher secondary school. He was from the first batch of Vrindavan students when the college started as Sri Sat Sai College for Art, Science and Commerce. He was the first batch, 1969 batch. On one occasion, what happened was there was some Narayan Seva that was going on in Vrindavan. And then these two boys, sir and one of his classmates, they were assigned the duty of serving. And then as the Narayan Seva was going on, it was a habit that whatever prasadam was served to the devotees, the same prasadam they also used to have, students. And there was nothing that was cooked in the kitchen that day. So the lines became more and the prasadam was getting over. So the other students had finished their meals. And then only these two boys were left over without any food. The entire prasadam got over. So they went and checked in the kitchen and to their utter disappointment, nothing was left. So they were dejected. They were feeling extremely hungry. And then there used to be a pond where right now our hostel is situated in Vrindavan.
Okay.
So our hostel is built on a pond.
Okay.
So then these two brothers, sir and his classmate, both of them went and sat on the steps of that pond. And then they were feeling so hungry and what should we do now, feeling hungry, and they didn't know what to do. And suddenly, out of the blue, they just saw the curtain of Swami's window open. And then Swami looked at them and they also spotted Swami opening the curtain. And then Swami looked so lovingly at them and told, just come in.
Oh, wow.
And then to their utter amazement, the moment they reached inside Swami's residence, the entire dining table was set for them. And then all the items were brought. And then the cook of Swami had arranged the meals for them. And Swami himself came and served the two boys. And they ate to their heart's content. And then Swami had retired. And they also were ecstatic that their hunger was appeased by the serving of Swami and the love of Swami.
Yeah.
And the duty that they had done of serving the Narayanas, the devotees. So Swami had without fail attended to them and appeased their hunger. Responded to
their service, what the Swami offered, accepted their service. And you know, one more thing, I don't know if you remember, when you were students, you know, the Sunday morning darshans are always special. You know, Swami will come for darshan and then, you know, he'll call Venkatachalam sir. You know, Venkatachalam sir is our hostel
kitchen
in charge. He'll call him and there'll be one session where Swami will pull his leg, and then in that humor also, Swami used to always give a very important message. What are you feeding the students? Like, how is the sambar? Is the sambar very watery? He'll call one boy and ask, does he really give good sambar, or sambar is always watery? And then how was the idli? How big is the idli? And then how was the dosa? Like, breakfast, everything he'll inquire in such details with the students and Venkatachalam sir. And then the same thing he'll do with the primary school kids also. So that concern that how my students, my children are eating properly or not. That's one thing. And one more very, very sweet and very special incident I remember is you know, 2003, you know, that there was a small accident, and Swami had had a fall, and he had a small problem in his hip, and then we all had gone through a lot of trauma that time. And then the time came when Swami told, okay, I'm going to give darshan now. And, you know, few of us ex-students were all there in Vrindavan that time. And then Swami had actually told that, okay, let me arrange a lunch for my ex-students, for my students who are staying here. I think it's the month of June or July. First time Swami had actually gave an audience to, other than devotees, someone in Trai, you know, Trai, same Trai. Mm. And you know what, like, we were so touched. Swami had just come down, and then he was sitting in the jhula, and then I remember he had, like you told, a sumptuous meal he had just arranged for all of us. And then, you know, not minding whatever was his physical discomfort or anything, he was like specifically asking, did you serve him this? Did you serve him this? Did this, you know, did all of you eat properly or not? In the jhula room and the central hall, we are all seated. And then Swami was going around slowly, very slowly, and then went and sat in that. And then he was asking everyone, and then who was serving, whether you served him. No. I remember Swami gave, it was very special. I think Swami had made that day, the dish was idli with
tumbler rasam. Idli.
Tumbler idli and rasam idli was, you know. And then Swami was talking, you know, rasam idli is good, it's good for health. And then you all have properly. And Swami is just sitting and enjoying when we all are having it. You know, that is the speciality of Swami. It's not that he's not eating. He didn't eat anything that day. He was just sitting and enjoying when all of us were eating. So, you know, for the mother, the greatest joy is to see that her children are satiated, their hungers are satiated, and they are happy. That makes the mother also happy. So that that particular aspect of Swami we had seen so closely that day. Like, he is calling us, and after we were all so pained that Swami is not keeping well, and Swami had something. But I'm perfectly fine. My joy is when all of you are joyful. And then with that lunch which he offered, it was so beautiful.
Actually, at this point, I am reminded of a very significant incident that happened. This was during 60s or 70s time, when we had discussed about this in the previous session about this devotee, our dear Saraswatamma garu from Amalapuram. When she was here for some festival, Swami had arranged for Narayan Seva. Those days only the sands used to be there. And then as Swami was watching from upstairs, the entire Narayanas were made to sit, and then food was served. And in those days, there was a problem of thieves also.
Okay.
There was a hint that thieves also might come and join the congregation, and then you have to be careful. And then Swami didn't mind that, and he continued doing his duty. And then all the devotees were seated. As the food was being served, there was this person who was a thief and who had this idea of taking something from the Narayan Seva. He thought something more was being given there, free of cost.
Okay.
And then with that intention, he sat. And then as Swami was looking from upstairs, the food was being served in his plate. And he got so upset and wild that why at all food is being served? Okay. I want something more.
Hmm.
And then he threw sand on the food that was served to him. Then he threw the plate. And he got up from there and he left. Seeing Swami, he had uttered some words and then he left. Then everybody was like taken aback, and Saraswatamma garu had an opportunity to ask Swami, "Swami, such a thing happened. Why so? And then Swami told the reason why he was conducting Narayan Seva. He told, "See, I want to make all these people get rid of their poverty.
Okay.
That is why Narayan Seva, I am conducting Narayan Seva. This person who is a thief, he had so much of past karma that now because of this act of his, he won't be able to get so many days of food. And when you refuse God's prasadam, this is what happens to you. So we should be very, very alert and very, very sure about what we are doing when food is being served to us. Oh, that is such a very important aspect that we need to remember.
Yeah, when you say that again, I remember that incident in Shirdi Baba's life also, when he narrates that four of them, he just gives a very symbolic story that four of them go into the wild, into the woods in search of something. He doesn't reveal what it is. So there'll be one small trader. They find one small trader in the forest, asks, where are you going? They will not give a correct reply. They'll give a very evasive reply. Then we are going somewhere. Then say, no, this forest is very, very dense, trackless. You'll lose your way. You tell me what you want. Sit down. I'll at least take some food. I'm going to offer you some food. Take some food and then you go for your search. So all of them will not listen. They'll just go. But Shirdi Baba says that when I'm there, he says that, that's why, the importance of food. Swami also has given so much importance to respect food. Then he says that, see, we all wanted to go in such a Brahmagyana. Like, it's very, very symbolic. Into this trackless, thick forest. But when he calls him the Vanjari. Vanjari means a person who trades with small things he trades with. With his love, when he comes and offers you food, I was not able to say no. And he says that when you go for a search or any such activity, when food is offered to you, you should always think it's auspicious. Something very auspicious. So he says, then other three go off. He says, no, he's offering me food, I'll accept the food. This is something which Shirdi Baba says that, basically he's telling the story to teach us a lesson. So, and then he sits and when the food is offered, he accepts the food. Immediately, the person transforms into a guru and says, okay, what you want? You tell me what you want. So then, I think this is so important. When food is offered to you, when you're in something, going for something, or if you're in a search or something, in any situation, when food is offered to you in a way which is, you never expected, I think you should always think this is very auspicious. It's something which is very special. It is God's gift, God's prasadam, the way you're telling. And when you accept it, things will open up for you. So, Swami always says, sadhana is fine, but sadhana has to be done. First, you have to keep your hunger satiated. Then only you can think of God. So, whenever there is an offer of food anywhere, you should never refuse.
And then when we talk about Chutpi Pasa Malam Jeshtham Alakshmim, Alakshmim, the wretchedness and poverty, how God comes to your rescue and alleviates your suffering and poverty. We have innumerable number of incidents from Swami's life. And every devotee is touched, because the aspect of physical poverty as well as mental poverty, if we consider, both are taken care of by Swami.
Yes.
So then we have a beautiful experience when Swami was constructing the college in Anantapur for women. There was this T.G. Krishnamurthy Garu, who was a devotee and who was called by Swami from Chennai. And then grants him a beautiful experience of how Swami attends to a devotee of his. And then this experience itself will give us a bird's eye view about how Swami perceives things, how the mother, all-knowing mother, knows the past, present and future of each and every devotee, and how she comes to their rescue. We shall listen to that experience of T.G. Krishnamurthy Garu.
Sure.
First time I heard Swami was telling about poor people, needy people, you must serve them with love and sacrifice for them. The life is only meant for that.
Oh.
So I was wondering, my father also taught the same thing.
Yeah, you were mentioning that, yes.
Swami also was taught the same thing. Naturally, I was more interested.
Oh, that's the one which actually attracted.
Slowly attracted towards him. After 2 days, the authorities in our organization, sir, Swami wanted to, why can't we take Swami in your car to go Anantapur? Okay. So my car was given. I had a Benz car at that time.
Yeah.
Then he said, no, you should drive the car. He said, all right, I'll drive the car, but though I don't know the rules, roads here, I don't know, somebody will sit. So one day, first day, we went around with somebody, and Swami was seated in the rear, and with another elderly gentleman. They were only talking about poor people, needy, nothing else. No other subject was discussed. Life is only meant for that.
Okay.
So I was really attracted. I was slowly listening every bit of his words. I was listening by as when I was driving the car.
Okay.
The next day, what happened? All of a sudden, he came down immediately after bhajan. He came and sat in the car. Let's go. I said, where to go?
Because you wanted somebody to guide you.
I'll tell you where to go. So I went to the left and went to the right and went out of the town limit. We are going towards some district road.
Okay.
I did not know what.
Outside Anantapur, you are already
outside going. Outside city limit, outside municipal limit, gone. Then I was wondering where, how to ask Swami. I did not know how to, I just kept going. One driving the car slowly.
That and he was guiding you, which will take left
go straight
right
at left on the road, district road, going about 5 kilometers.
Speed.
Then there is a small road towards right, a soil road.
Mud road.
I go in this. All right. So there was a big banyan tree. There one cobbler was seated there, stitching slippers.
Okay.
And he went and stopped the car. He said, he reduced the glass and told that fellow, "Ne vachesanu," that is, I have come.
Uh-oh.
That man got up, smiled and got up. "Ready, Swami. Come, Swami." And he started running to. So Swami said, "Go behind." I was wondering, what is this? Then after some time, the poor man is running. "Please sit. Make him sit next to you in the car, in the front seat." Okay, he sat. You know, in those days, in villages, you must know, there are two kinds of colonies. One is Agraharam, other is Scheduled Colony.
Okay.
So, Agraharam means there are
all
three castes. That is Brahmana, Vaishya and Kshatriya. Here, only Sudra is Scheduled Colony. So, the car was going towards Scheduled Colony. I know natural cobbler belongs to that, the Scheduled Colony only. So, the car, I stopped, it's a house. There, it's the house, the gate itself, you can see this, the smell of that Agra, that Scheduled Colony smell, there is something stinking. So Swami got down from the car. I was wondering. Everything was, you know, mesmerized, like mesmerized. I was just wondering what is going to happen here. And Swami went inside. "Yeah, you also come," I said. "Yes, sir." So I also went inside. I was not myself at that time. So when we went there, you know, Swami, that fellow has had a toad mat. You must have seen in the old villages. Here and there, a lot of gas. He spread out for Swami. "Please be seated, Swami." Swami said, I was standing about 5 feet away. "Hey, you also sit." I squatted on the floor. Okay. Those days only covered in flooring. And he said, "Swami, that is why, will you have some drink?" He said, "Yes, sir. Shall I give you buttermilk?" He said, "Yes." So that fellow brought one aluminium glass, you know, with so much of dents.
Okay.
And he poured buttermilk to Swami. I was wondering, what sort of water is this?
Now, the dent means all that must have been blackish color.
Because it must have used very badly. That's what it means.
Okay.
It is not a fresh one. Generally, when Swami comes to our house, we keep specially for him certain plates or spoons.
Cutlery, everything.
Afterwards, we pack it and keep it. We don't use it.
Yes.
So, but here, that fellow giving a glass which was used by their family.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what sort of water they are using it? Is it lake water, a groundwater water, where there is no river here? And what will happen? They say loose motions, stomach upset. This is what I was thinking. Then immediately, Swami, he also wants a glass of milk. Please give him, why can't you give him buttermilk? So I had to drink. There's no other go. Forcefully, he gave. So that one gave me another aluminium glass. Then what to do? I gulped just like that. All right, tonight, only I have to pray that I should not have any loose motions or stomach upset before till I reach Anantapur.
Okay. That was not on the way. No emergency.
That was my only prayer. And after some time, he brought his wife and children. And Swami was talking, "I'll take care of your children." This and that. We spent about 25 minutes. And Swami got into the car and I also got it. Then I asked Swami, "If you really want this man, we would have brought him to Anantapur."
Okay.
"Why did you come here all the way and had that drink of that buttermilk? What water? What kind of water?" "Hey, forget about that. Previous birth, that man used to walk 15 miles a day to have my darshan. And with little camphor, he used to place it before my idol and burn it. And to namaskar."
In front of Swami means in the temple he must have come there.
Temple used to go to, for 15 years and 15 miles every day.
Oh my God.
Till his death.
Okay.
So should I not go at least once for his sake? Who remembers about how do you know about the past life? Swami said, then we had to accept. then this drink that he gave you, that buttermilk and all this, nothing will happen to you. Don't worry. I will take care of you. You will happily, comfortably drive the car, is it?
This thing was taking, discussion was going on in the car on the return journey.
Then I asked him, the moment you opened the glass and said, I have come, that fellow has recognized you. You can recognize him. Did you meet him before?
Oh.
I said, no. I used to come to his dreams. He knows me well.
Okay.
Then why did you select him? Apart from this, if you're going 15 years, whenever a customer comes to stitch slippers or shoe, whatever it is, and that customer is to ask him how much, and this fellow say, your choice.
Give what
God's
you?
Choice. No.
It's a God's choice.
God's choice. Bhagavantudu. Okay. Bhagavantudu means God's choice.
Yeah.
So you may give 1 anna or 2 anna or 10 anna, 1 rupee, just take. He never demanded, I want this or that.
Oh, very good.
And whatever that is come to his hand, it is from me. That's what he used to take it as if God given things for him.
Okay.
So I had to, because of that, I have to look after his wife, children, their marriage. All these things, you know, were, for me, you know, it was, I did not know how, but then only I said, I think I should touch Swami's feet to get some blessings. Then only I came to that feeling that I must touch. Because so much from Anandapur, where is Anandapur, we almost came about 25 miles away.
To see him in his house, in his own house.
In his own hut, he sat comfortably seated there.
Don't you think there is some resemblance between Krishna, Rama and Swami in this extent?
Later on, I will come to later on, when I studied Bhagavatam, Ramayana and all that, then I know who is Rama, who is Krishna, who is Sai, all those things we'll discuss later on.
Yeah.
Now, with this, you know, I started attracted towards him.
But don't you think that now, when you had that 15 years continuously coming, why should you be born as a poor person, did you ask?
Yes. The answer was, he says, though he was coming there, he was eating non-vegetarian, he was drinking, plus he had several wives. These are the reasons he gives. There is no discipline in his life, apart from devotion. So for the devotion's sake, I had to come. For indiscipline's sake, he had to suffer.
Oh, that's a lot of
nature. Although he clearly explains in the car. So that gave me an attraction.
So, Ganesh, now, you know, as we had told in the beginning of the program also, that first is he'll remove or annihilate your negative. Negative means anything, your thirst, your hunger or wretchedness or poverty. And that physically means something which is needed for your survival in a day-to-day life. Second is the mental one, mental poverty, mental struggles and your mental wretchedness, how he'll remove. And then, you know, and Swami is, you know, Swami says, my life is my message. Whatever he does is to teach us a lesson. So, and then in one very sweet incident, I think we'll have a chance to listen to Ruchir sir. He actually expresses that he has thirst. Dahamo, dahamo. Swami actually utters these words, Nag dahanga undi. I'm thirsty, I'm feeling thirsty. So what is this thirst which Swami is talking about? If we just have a glimpse of it, we'll know that actually, what is it that God wants us all to follow? So let's listen to Ruchir sir.
Swami would do Narayan Seva whenever he was in Kodaikanal. In Kodaikanal, it would be being a cold place, being a hill station. It would be a sari or a dhoti for the ladies or the gents and a blanket. So this was Ishwaramma day and Narayan Seva was scheduled for that day. So in the bhajan hall, all the food would be kept, all the clothes would be kept. From the bhajan hall, the distribution would take place. So here was this distribution going on, 2 hours, 3 hours, the distribution was going on. The distribution was almost over. And Swami walked into the bhajan hall. So Swami was there, behind him a couple of elders were there. Swami he'd been walking up and down almost the whole morning, supervising the Narayan Seva, distributing clothes, standing, seeing to it, seeing the devotees enjoying the prasadam, giving darshan to them. So he'd walked around quite a bit. So there was that tired look on Swami's face, crumpled clothes. But when he walked into the bhajan hall, he came and he saw a pile of blankets there. There was some food. He spoke to the Sevadal people and came forward. He saw the blankets. So he turned and asked. Blankets were not distributed. So he looked around in general and asked. So 2-3 of us, including some of the elders, we said, I said, Swami, blankets are distributed. So he turned to the gentleman behind him, Mr. Srinivasan. Turned to Mr. Srinivasan and asked him, he said, Swami, blankets are distributed. Everybody got? Yes, Swami, everybody got. Go and see. Swami told him. So this gentleman went out. 2 minutes over, 3 minutes over, 5 minutes over. He's not yet come back. So Swami was restless. He was moving around talking, but his eyes kept going on to that pile of blankets there. Then finally he turned and spotted me. He said, near the gate were these blankets given. Koi chudu, near the gate. So as I was moving out, running out of the bhajan hall, Mr. Srinivasan was coming up the steps. So I said, sir, Swami is asking whether it is given. Yes, 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 I checked up. I said, sir, outside the gate was it given? He said, yes, yes, I checked up, everywhere it was given. I said, no, sir, Swami is just asking. So when he said everywhere it was given, I also stopped and he was coming up, so I also turned. I thought behind him, I'll follow. Then he said, no, Swami is saying specifically outside the gate, let's go and check. So both of us went. We climbed down the steps, climbed down that entire slope of Sai Shruti, went to the gate. We walked out of the gate, there was a watchman there was some sevadal on duty. We asked them, they said, yes, people came here, they gave, whoever was sitting here also was given. So we spent a good 5 minutes finding out, and finally we walked back. By the time we reached the bhajan hall, Swami had left the bhajan hall. You know, students had all run ahead in anticipation of Swami, washed their hands and feet because they were all doing Narayan Seva, dirty hands, dirty feet. So they had washed their hands and feet and then gone and sat around Swami's chair. So there was this cluster of students around Swami's chair. So Swami walked in clearly, and he had walked for 2-3 hours. So as he sat on the chair, he said, I'm thirsty. In Telugu he said. So one of the students promptly picked up the glass of water which was kept on the stool next to Swami's chair and offered it to Swami. And as that glass of water came up, and Swami saw that glass of water, Swami brushed him aside like this, not this, he said. Swami was looking tired. He had walked around for 2-3 hours. Anyone who's seen Swami for long will know that a glass of water is kept next to Swami's stool. He takes water at regular intervals. And here for 2-3 hours, he's been walking around. The icing on the cake is, while sitting, he said, I'm thirsty. And Swami was sitting silently. When we entered, Mr. Srinivasan and I was trailing behind him, when we entered the room, we saw that Swami sitting silently with that far away look. So neither of us attempted to say anything. I just sat down at the first available blank spot. I sat down. Mr. Srinivasan crossed over and on the chairs he would normally sit. He found a place. Swami saw him, saw both of us coming in. I sat down. In fact, he couldn't have gone unnoticed because he crossed over. But Swami didn't say anything. He also kept quiet. Swami had that lost, faraway look in his eyes. He got up and then went into the kitchen. So we were all thinking that something has gone wrong. After about 3, 4, or maybe 5 minutes, we heard the sound of a vehicle, which turned out to be Swami's car, coming to the portico. And then we found the gentleman who would drive Swami, a gentleman by name Padmanabhan, who had the opportunity to drive Swami's car. So Padmanabhan comes to the front door. Swami sees him and he disappears. Just like telling Swami, I'm here. He doesn't open his mouth, just throws his head, and Swami sees him and he goes out. And then Swami gets up and Swami goes to the door. As he goes to the door, he looks back and then calls a couple of these elders, Mr. Srinivasan and somebody else, and calls them, kind of, follow me. So they also troop out. Everybody's wondering what's happening. Nobody has any clue. It so turned up that Swami turned out that Swami sat in the car and went. These people also sat in the car. Normally, Swami would very often go for a drive in Kodaikanal, and that could be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Today, it's 45 minutes, it's 1 hour, close to 1 hour, and Swami has not come back. Finally, close to 1 hour, around 50, 55 minutes, and we heard the sound of these vehicles come back. This is one kind of a relief. Vehicle came back, Swami's car came back, Swami's car would drive up all the way to the portico, literally in front of the front door. Now, on occasions like this, the students would rush to open Swami's door. It's a chance. You open Swami's door, you're doing something for Swami, you get to look at Swami, chances are Swami will look at you. So whoever was close will go, and whoever reaches there first will open Swami's car door. Then nobody ventured. Nobody got up from where they were seated. Not because I wanted to have the pleasure of opening Swami's car door, but more as a sense of duty, I went. I didn't have a choice, I went. And I reached just in time. It's like I went and stood there and Swami's car stopped. And I reached forward and pulled the car door open. So here was Swami getting down from the car. So he saw the car door open. And as he is getting down, he is looking up at me and giving me one of the most beautiful smiles that I have received from him directly in my life. This was the same Swami who had 1 hour back a very faraway look in his eyes. And we all thought that one of us present there has committed some kind of unpardonable sin. There was gloom everywhere. He was not talking to anyone. And here he was giving one of the most beautiful smiles. As he got down from the car and he walked past, he gave me a pat on my cheek and went. You stupid fellow. He gave me a pat on my cheek and went inside. He went inside and sat. No word was being exchanged. Because the boys here have not seen that smile also. Finally, after 2-3 minutes of silence, as Swami sat down, he said in Telugu, "Ippude na daham tirindi. Now my thirst is quenched." And everybody wondered what it is. So everybody was looking around wondering what it is. So Swami saw that look on everybody's face. So Swami told Mr. Srinivasan, "Chepu, tell boys what had happened." To cut a long story short, what Swami had done was, seeing that pile of blankets, he had felt that these blankets were not distributed. So when he asked us to verify, we went and told him, "No, Swami, blankets were distributed to whoever was there." So Swami had walked up out of the kitchen, opened the kitchen door, told whoever was there to call Padmanabhan. Swami instructed Padmanabhan, "Take all those blankets which are there in the bhajan hall, load them up in the jeep, make the jeep ready, bring the car and come." What Swami had done was taken all those blankets, driven around Kodaikanal, all the lanes, by lanes, nooks and corners of Kodaikanal. And Padmanabhan tells me, "In my life, I've made so many trips to Kodaikanal, I've taken Swami for a drive so many places, but there are streets and routes which I don't know. But Swami said, go like this, go here, go left from here, go right from here." And then Swami himself completed the story. And he said, "Look, Kodaikanal is a cold place. It's a hilly place. There's no mode of transport there except that you have to walk. Any hill station, you need to walk. The people who are really old, the people who are really infirm, the people who really need, who are poor, would have found it difficult to come here. And they wouldn't have got the blankets. So what I did was, I went round, found those people and gave them blankets." So as he was going round and round, whenever he would see an old person, whenever he would see a poor person, he would stop the car and then say, "Give him a blanket." So somebody would get down from the jeep, give a blanket, and then it would continue. This process continued. Swami went round and round and round to every nook and corner till Swami had to be assured that the blankets were over. In fact, Swami went to the extent of asking, "Are there any more blankets lying there?" "No, Swami, we've picked up every single blanket now, everything is over." Then reluctantly said, "Okay, then let's go back." So here was Swami giving a new meaning to service. All of us would be very happy to serve, to donate to whoever comes to our doorstep. Whoever has come, depending on my capacity, I will give. But here was Swami, who was telling us it's not enough to give whoever has come. If the really needy, the really poor have not come, I will go out in search of them. I will go out, I will seek them and give them.
So I think, Bhargav, if we start going into the lives of each and every devotee,
yeah,
we have innumerable number of instances, umpteen number of examples to show a glimpse of how Swami comes to each and every devotee's rescue.
Yes.
And then how he alleviates their hunger. And in a beautiful, last time we had discussed this, Kanniru Tappinchinu, Kanniru Teppinchinu. He removes the tears, he wipes the tears
of sorrow and misery.
Of sorrow and misery. And then he brings the tears of joy and happiness, and the love for God is brought out from your,
yes,
from the depths of your heart.
Yes.
So this also, he clears or eradicates the hunger and thirst for worldly things.
Yes.
In the psychological level.
Yes.
And then he creates a thirst and a hunger to aspire for spiritual progress.
Yes, correct.
So this is how Swami transforms our life. It is the concept of when Lakshmi comes to you, Tami Hopahvaye Shriyam, this is what happens. The entire perspective of your thirst, hunger,
everything
and wretchedness, everything changes. And as we have seen, the eight types of the eight accomplices of Kirti, like Mati, Dyuti, Pushti, Samriddhi, Tushti, Arogya, Jaya and Shraddha, are automatically generated.
Yeah, they automatically get it. And you know, just to add to your point, you know, Swami, when he's talking about the Ashtanga Yoga, Patanjali Yoga Sutras, Swami has given beautiful insights into that. So, you know, there are Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. But, you know, Swami always talks that the first two are very, very crucial, Yama and Niyama, because these are the basic foundations. Without that, you cannot make the mansion at all. The foundation should be very strong. So I think in one place, Swami says very beautifully that how you know that you have Niyama. Yama is something which you should not do.
Should not do.
Niyama is
a rule to be followed.
Rule to be followed. So Swami says that, okay, how you know that you have got Niyama is that wherever, you know, there is something good is happening, some satsang is happening, or any service is happening, anything. So as a sadhaka, you should automatically have a thirst to go and attend that. Attend that service or that satsang, or be in a good company. The thirst to be in the good company, the hunger to be in the good company. That is what is telling, okay, now according to Swami, okay, this is, you have got this. So you are already strongly into the Niyama aspect. Once you get in the Niyama aspect, then it becomes easier for you to progress. So, you know, Swami always gives this thirst and hunger's perspective so differently. So have thirst for anything good which is happening around you. So you actually have gone to a higher rung in the Ashtanga Yoga.
Oh, that is great to know. So I think with these few words, as we are running out of time, we shall conclude today's episode with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram. And we do request the listeners to write and share their thoughts and ideas to listener@ssmediacenter.org. So you can even WhatsApp it to 9393-258-258, because this is a journey that all of us are collectively embarking upon, and yes, each one of us should go hand in hand and then share our knowledge, whatever little we have. So with these few words, we shall take leave from you and then end the session with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram, with the prayer that every thought and word is His inspiration. We shall conclude the class.
Om.
यदक्षरपदभ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद्भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देवा नारायण नमोऽस्तु ते। विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा। अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निषन्मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा। अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष सा ईश्वरा। हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीसाईश्वरार्पणमस्तु।
From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment Shri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari. Stay tuned to Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.